Welcome back to Relatively Damaged by Damaged Parents. Today, we're going to talk with Robin Moore. She has many roles in her life, mom, daughter, sister, and more. We'll talk about how she was on 11 medications and was able to get off those medications and a big plus lose 70 pounds. Let's talk. Hey everyone, Angela Talent here, host of the Relatively Damaged podcast. I'm the author of Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. As you may know, Cicero once said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. Well, I say a soul without poetry hasn't lived. Buy my book on Amazon, Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. Welcome back to Relatively Damaged by Damaged Parents. Today we have Robin Moore with us. She owns her own coaching business where she has the blessing of helping other women connect with their inner joy, helping them finally create and experience the joy-filled, aligned, and fulfilling life that they deserve. Having spent many years silently struggling with anxiety, depression, and health issues, Robin creates a new and inspiring path to entirely redefine what was possible for her future. Through her incredible journey of perseverance and hope, Robin has powerfully freed herself from 11 medications, rejuvenated her health by losing 70 pounds, overcome depression and anxiety, and has embraced motherhood with the adoption of her son, Jaden. You can find Robin at robinmoorecoaching.com or on Facebook, robin.moore with an E, 16. Robin, welcome to the show.
Hi, Angela. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you came. Okay, 11 medications. I feel like there's a special name in the medical field, I think, for someone who takes a lot of medicine. And furthermore, I usually think of elderly people, and you are clearly not elderly to me.
Yeah. I've been off the most of those medications for about 15 years. So I was not elderly for sure.
Implying that maybe now you are, because I don't see it.
Yeah, okay. I hope not. I haven't hit that mid-century mark, but I'm getting close. But
I feel that pain.
But yeah, no, it was the cycle of, you know, I originally went in for the depression and anxiety when I was in college. And so that's where the medicine started. And then it's kind of like every medicine caused another issue. And I just kept going back and I didn't know any better except to just do what I was told. Before you knew it, I was not even 30 years old and I'm on the 11 prescription medications. I go in to see a doctor. They want to put me on number 12, give me this crazy diagnosis. And I remember telling my mom and she was like, Robin, that is not correct. Like, that is not you. And it was kind of really a light bulb moment for me because I thought I get to kind of think for myself I get to kind of question and research, which later led me into questioning like what I was telling myself as well. But at that point, that really started a journey for me and one of those things was getting off all 11 of those medications one by one. With every medicine I got off, another diagnosed disease went away. And it just kind of spearheaded this journey for me that's just taking me to an amazing life.
Okay, so you're in college, you're having anxiety and depression, and you start the medication, the first one, and then you have reactions from those or side effects. And they're like, oh, you also need this medication.
Yeah, they were side effects. I didn't know that at the time, right? It wasn't real easy to walk through that. It was, you know, some of the things were, I had restless leg syndrome. I was diagnosed with a form of narcolepsy, right? So like, it was like, I wasn't sleeping. And so I went in for test study. So like, I was on prescription speed to stay awake during the day. And I was on a sleeping pill I never got more than 3 hours of sleep at night with medication, right? Okay. And then it was, like I said, the restless leg syndrome and then high blood pressure. And it just spearheaded and went one by one. But I, at the time, did not correlate the additional medication to the new issue.
Well, and as a patient, I would think you're probably thinking that that's the doctor's job.
Right.
Or the pharmacist's job.
Sure. That's what I thought at the time, for sure.
I mean, yeah, I think that's kind of important to talk about because those darn white coats have power. And I say that in the sense that it's so easy to forget going to a doctor's office that it's just another human being that has maybe more knowledge in that area.
Yeah. And I think we are just kind of taught to what they tell us we do. But what I've learned through my journey is they're just like anybody else. They have limitations and they don't know me as well as I know me, right? Mm-hmm. They may know medicine a lot better, but I have to be my own advocate for what I believe is going on. Now I do my own research. I do all of that because I want to go in with as much knowledge to be able to make the decision that's right for me, not for a general population or what's in a book, but what's right for me.
Yeah. What has been your experience since all of this happened? I mean, I would love to get into more of this on going in with that research. Sometimes is it rebuffed or the doctor frustrated, or do you have to find a special kind of doctor or one that connects with you? What do you do?
Yeah, I think all of those. So I remember the first medication that I got off of was my blood pressure medication. So I remember going, this was years ago, but I remember going into the doctor and her saying, your blood pressure looks great. And then, you know, I'm like, great. And then later in conversation, I say, yeah, I stopped my blood pressure medication a few weeks ago. And she was like, are you kidding me? You can't do that. And I was like, but you just told me that that was the best my blood pressure had ever been. She was like, yeah, but you can't do that. So that's what kind of started my journey. Well, yeah, actually I can. It worked very well for me. And so why are we not going down this route, right? Like, why are we not going down the ways that help me versus what medications do I need to add to my regimen, you know?
So was it about like the concern, if you do this, you could have had these repercussions? I mean, you had already done it, but
yeah, I think that probably was it. What I've come to learn, I mean, I have a high respect for doctors. I think they're great. They have their place, but what I've learned is that they've been trained in one way, right? Like most of them have been trained to know medicine and how to put medicines towards a problem. And I learned
the figurative fix, quote unquote.
Which oftentimes can just masquerade, right, what the real issue is. But so many people, right, in America want that, right? They want something that's an easy fix. But those easy fixes, right, can also cause lots of other issues. And so my preference and what I've learned in all this is to go the natural route, right? To use the things that God gave us in the beginning. And that's where I found, you know, great success. And that's actually what I saw in herbalist. That was how I got off most of those medications, just rejuvenating my body, because, you know, body, soul, and spirit are so tied together. And when one is mixed up, it's so hard to figure out all the other, right? Because they're so tied together, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg. It's hard to place that together when everything's so out of whack, you know? And so that was a big part of the beginning of my journey was working on those health. And then when I was in a better place physically, I was able to work on the mentals. For some people, it may be the opposite. I found a lot. It's the mental, right? Because the mental is so much part of the physical. But that's why really a holistic approach is best. but yeah, they all play together and they all are very, very intertwined.
It seems like what I'm hearing you saying is that in holistic, I also think it what I'm hearing is a very individual approach and not just, oh, we need to go down this path because you mark these boxes here.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why, you know, we're talking about the physical right now, but that's why it's so important, like with my coaching, right? Because it's the individual, right? We all have our stories that we've created. We all have our history. We all have our stories. And by our stories, I mean, you can have 12 people witness a crime and you have 12 different stories, right? Because we all have a different lens that we're viewing things through. And so the beliefs and the things that are happening in our lives are usually tied to some really core beliefs that we believe about life or about ourselves. And I know this was true, you know, for me as well, but that's why it's an individualized thing, right? You got to figure out for each person what that is. And then when you can show them what they're creating by believing that story, when they see it, then they're likely to think about other options, like to realize that story is not helping them. And so what is a story it's still true. It's the same circumstance, but the story is what dictates our lives.
So there's a difference between the story I tell myself maybe and the experience I'm having and the story I'm telling. So there is like yet another layer, maybe the story I'm telling myself about the experience.
Yeah. Well, so you have a fact. So your experience, the way I think of an experience is your feelings, right?
Okay.
And so your feelings about what are going on is coming from a thought. And that thought, which I'm calling that story, is coming from something that happened. But that thing that happened, we don't view it like in the court of law, right? We put a lot of extra feelings and emotions and thoughts and words behind that situation. And that's what creates those thoughts that actually create feelings that we don't like so much, right?
So kind of like we're on a thought train and we're just making it longer and longer to create the story.
We are. So our thoughts are creating our feelings, and then that creates our actions, the things that we do or the things that we don't do. And those things are what create our results. And 100% of the time, our results tie to our original thought. So we're creating this self-fulfilling loop.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we get so stuck in that, right? We've done it for decades, maybe, right? We've done it years, weeks, decades. And we create these stories that feel so real to us, right? They feel like the absolute truth.
But that's really interesting that you're using the word they feel like absolute truth, implying that maybe the story and those feelings, maybe they were just what happened back then, or or they shifted somehow into what we're believing now.
Well, both of those. So our view of it, our story that we see so often, we think is 100% true. But when you break down what somebody's telling me, very few of that is normally fact.
Mm-hmm.
So for instance, let's say if you wake up in the morning and whatever's on your brain, you write all of that down on a piece of paper, right? What you're thinking about, what you're worried about, all those things. Go back and circle what are actually facts, could be proven in the court of law. Very few of those are facts, right? And so those are the stories that feel very real to us. They feel like fact. And then we're thinking those, and a belief is just a repetitive thought. So we're thinking that over and over and over. So then we create this belief. So it could be something like, let's say I did an activity and I didn't feel like I did as well as I should. And so I told myself that I'm a failure, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so by thinking that I'm a failure, guess what? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. I'm going to continue to do things that make me feel like a failure. And I go all these years later, everything I do, I feel like a failure. But really, I just told myself a story that wasn't even true all those years ago.
And it just kept perpetuating because you believed it.
Exactly.
Got it. So just back to the medicine. So when you took away that blood pressure medicine, what gave you the idea? Like, I'm going to try this? What happened that you're like,
yeah,
I'm doing this?
Yeah. So for me, I was driving by, it was a place that an office that was very close to where I live. And so I had driven by that like hundreds of times. But for some reason, after this incident I told you with the doctor, this last diagnosis, I saw this herbalist, this place. And I was like, I think also my brother had told me at one point that I might think about seeing a naturalist or an herbalist or something because of medication. At the time, it just irritated me because I was like, he doesn't even know what I'm going through. He doesn't know what I need. It just irritated me. But I think that thought was in my head as well. Mm-hmm. He had planted that seed. And I saw this herbalist and I was sketchy. I was hesitant. I can't think of the word I'm looking for, but I was like, I don't know. Right. But I ended up just walking in and I ended up meeting some other clients, customers that were there and talked to them and was like, well, they seem level-headed. They seem normal. Right.
And so, well, okay. Hold on. Wait, what did you think you were going to walk into?
I don't know. At the time, which is so funny to me to talk about all these years later, such a huge part of my life. But I think at the time I thought, yin yang, that's just like really weird stuff. That's like kooky. That was my thought at the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was my belief. And I walked in there and, you know, God just really used that for that herbalist, just started helping me get off those medications. And so that's kind of where the strength came from, was him saying, you know, and he wasn't like, get off this medication. He started giving me some herbs to boost my system and just talked that it was a possibility. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to get off the stuff that I feel like is causing more chaos in my life than helping me.
Right. You did that. You went to the doctor, the first ones out of there, the first medication. Was it the same type of thing with the, as you continued with other, I don't know if you had other clinicians that you had to work with or other doctors, or were you able to just say, okay, I'm ready. I want to get off all of this.
Yeah. I don't think I'm not saying I recommend this, but I don't think I checked with any doctor with any medicine I got off of. I just started learning to trust myself and, you know, was seeing that herbalist. So I did have some guidance, but I believe I got off 9 of those medications in that first year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then, yeah, it just completely kind of changed my life. And then it was after that, that I lost the 70 pounds. And then after that, it's when I really started, you know, digging into the mental health, which to me, I mean, yeah, getting off those medications and losing the weight were amazing things that helped me, but nothing helped me as much as my mental aspect of everything.
So real quick, before we get into the mental health aspect, did the weight just come off naturally as you were making these changes, or did you actually decide, no, I'm going to work on this?
I did. I decided to work on it, but I was at the space that I could actually, you know, have the mind to work on it because it wasn't so clogged up with my body wasn't clogged up with all those medications, which I think was really, you know, like I described, never getting more than 3 hours of sleep. I mean, it's, you might think, well, that will allow you time to prepare all these other things. No, it keeps you in a chronic state of
like a walking zombie.
You know, the walking zombie, I pretty much was. But I mean, through all of this, I was still working full time. Actually, at that time, I was in school full time and working full time. Yeah.
Okay. So you were working full time and going to school and only 3 hours of sleep. How is that even possible? How did you even continue moving forward?
I don't know that I have an answer for that. I mean, I guess God's grace that I kept moving forward. I look back at it now and, you know, it's funny because I kind of can tend to be an overachiever, kind of hard on myself and always thinking I need to be doing more. And sometimes I do just have to stop and think and look at, even in my current situation, but especially back then, right? Like that was a lot. You see the things you didn't do right, but like you were handling it actually pretty well.
So when you were there in that situation, environment, experience, you were still thinking there was more you could be doing or sure. More you could be doing right?
Well, I think it was really frustrating for me that I was searching for answers and I felt like I couldn't find them. Now, when I started seeing that herbalist and getting off those medications, I started down the right path, but it still was a journey, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was, at the time, it was a very frustrating journey because it wasn't like someone was giving me the answers and I just wasn't doing them. Like I was doing everything that I knew to do, but yet I my life still felt miserable, right? I still felt like nothing was working right. But I was still trying the best I could to pretend on the outside and right to keep it going. I kind of lost my ability to, as the years went on, my ability to pretend became less and less. I have no ability to pretend now because I used it all up in all those younger years.
That's funny. Okay. So even as you're getting off all this medicine, you lose the weight, there's still the underlying anxiety and depression.
Okay.
And what was that? How did you start to cope with that? Or what did you do to start healing yourself?
Yeah, I think that was that was definitely the most difficult because it was a constant state at that moment. I tell people to never make the thought of suicide an option. Because once you play with the idea, at least my experience was, is that it was constant, Right.
Okay. So you had the rumination of the idea.
Yeah. Of the idea just over and over. So it had started for me like when I was in junior high, but now we're talking 15 years of this. And it's a pretty miserable way to live, right? Like wondering if that's something that you want to go forward through all the time. But I can remember as I started coming out of it, I can remember telling my mom, like, Mom, I think I may be happy. Like I had never remembered knowing what that felt like, really. Wow. And so it was just this constant, just feeling those stories I had been telling myself, right? That nobody loved me and here's all the reasons why, right? And I couldn't do anything right. And here are all the reasons why, right? Like our brain will find evidence for whatever we tell it. And I had found plenty of evidence for things that weren't true, but I had found the evidence for it. So I was living in this constant state. You know, by this point I was, it's kind of interesting because I was secluding by this point because I was so miserable. And so I just had a cat die a couple of months ago and she was almost 20 years old. And I had her during that time. And she was so scared of people because for the first 3 or 4 years of her life, she never saw another individual beside me because and when I say secluded, I was still going to a job. I was still working, but I had no friends at that point, right? Like I didn't think I was worthy to be around. I didn't know how to function. It was just too much to be around other people. And so I just remember at that point, right, that was my peace were these two little kitties that I had that were my joy. But yeah, so for me, it started really kind of going back to the thing I talked about with the health of, wait, like I can question what I'm being told, and I can question what I'm telling myself. And what am I telling myself? Is that really true? Like I know I believed it, but is it really true? And is there any upside to me continuing to tell myself these things? And so if these things that I'm telling myself are hurting me, what are things that would help me? And those are the things that I begin to tell myself. And I didn't believe them at first, right? But as I started to tell myself these things, I then started to believe them little by little. And that's what really, really started changing my life.
So did you have a therapist or someone helping you, or did it just come to you? Oh, I can question these thoughts.
Yeah, that's a great question. I did have therapists off and on for the years, but I don't believe that ever was talked about in therapy. I think it was my mom that so many things always come back to the role of the mom, right? And how much, but I think she was telling me that, but I think it took me a little while to start to listen.
As far as like that you could question those thoughts.
Yes. And what the truth was about myself. Right. And my faith is really important to me. So it's what does God say about me? Right. And so I started speaking those truths into my life because, right, I believe the Bible. I just didn't believe they were true about me. Right. Like I couldn't believe what he said about me was true. And so that's really where I started. I started finding what the Bible said about me and I started speaking those truths into my life.
And when you say speaking those truths, did you like have tape up affirmations on your mirror? I mean, what were you doing?
Yeah. So I was saying those truths to myself. I was saying them out loud. There's power in our words. I don't know if you've ever read any of the studies about or seen any of those.
Talk about them. Go for it.
Yeah. There's so many of them. But one is, I think it was a third grade classroom. They took a bowl of white rice and two bowls of white rice. And they had the kids every day for a month. Every time they came in, one, they would speak blessings, nice words to, right? And the other ones they would speak mean to, right? Curse at this rice. The end of 30 days, the ones that they spoke positively to was the same white rice. The one they spoke negatively to had turned black. And there's been studies, this is the same thing they've done it with. My mom, actually, we did it with the ice, with water that you freeze, the same thing. One is crystal clear. One is all jaggedy, looks like a completely different, the same freezer, the same thing of ice. So there's been so many studies about these, right? But There's power and in our words.
But you're talking about not just, because there was one way you had been talking to yourself in your mind, and yet there's this other way of speaking out into the world. So I think maybe part of the what I'm hearing and what you're saying is that even if it's just inside, there's power inside my body that would become jaggedy or black or what have you, for lack of a better way to explain it.
Yeah. So absolutely what we're telling ourselves, right, are either building us up or putting us down, right? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But there's another layer to that as far as our words, right? So I could have affirmations, things that I would say, and I could just think them. And that would be fantastic, right? But if you want to add another layer, you speak it, because the words that are spoken never dies.
Like more power or more energy mm-hmm. into it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Yeah. And so then I begin to speak it. Then I begin to look at myself in the mirror, right? Like these were all stages. Then I begin to look at myself and my posture was different when I started saying them, right? Like all these are kind of what seem like little things, but these are all things that really can bring them in, right? And then I started, you know, journaling was a huge thing for me. And it comes to now, like where I journal, like if something's on my mind, I'm like two sentences in and I'm already turning it around. I'm like, well, no, but here's the deal, right? Like so that's how my journaling now. It used to just be a gripe section, right? It used mm-hmm. to just be, and that was fine. I was getting that on paper, right? I surrounded myself with people, right? Like we're not meant to be alone. And so I started surrounding myself with people, with relationships. I mentioned my faith is important, right? So prayer and the Bible and those things, feeding those things, listening to uplifting music during the day. Like there's so many tools out there, and different tools resonate with different people. Mm-hmm. But all those things may seem very simple, but they're extremely, each and every one of them is extremely powerful.
I'm just wondering, I mean, did you also change what you were watching on TV? Or
so I haven't watched the news in probably 25 years.
Oh, wow.
And so when people say, I mean, my friends know, like if some major event happens, they need to text or tell me, like I may see it on Facebook or something, but I just don't watch the news. And that started way back then. Right. Like I realized that I had enough negativity going on in my brain. I didn't need to throw any more into it. Yeah. I started that years ago. I mean, things that I did, you know, that I learned regarding my sleep, because I told you I never got more than 3 hours. So, I mean, I've not had a TV in my room in 20 years. Right. Like, you know, there's just, I guess, things that I don't even think about till you ask that question that I learned way back then. And I guess I still put a lot of those into practice, because I know for me, I know that the news is not going to uplift me. It's just going to frustrate me. And I know I can only take a very small amount of that to put me in a different, and I know I'm not going to watch the news and solve the world's problems. Like there's not anything that missing that I could contribute had I known. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I mean, there is a sense that you need to know a few things. And that's why key people in my life let me know what I need to know.
Key things. They're like, hey, you need to check this out. Something's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow. So if someone was at, I don't know, the beginning, middle, end of your, like, in your similar struggle, or maybe they're on all that medicine, or they have all that extra weight, or they have the mental health issues, what would be the top three things that you would say, maybe try this, or maybe start here?
Yeah. I think the first thing is to believe, and you may have to rest on somebody else's belief, right? But you have to believe that things can be better, that life can be different. Right. You have to open up your heart to, you know, because the sense of frustration and things are never going to change just leave you stuck. Right. Mm-hmm. So you have to open up your mind to the possibility. And then I think it's important, you know, I mentioned earlier to have people in your life, to have relationships, and they're different kinds of relationships, but I'm talking about the kind that are going to be truthful and honest mm-hmm. and give you wise counsel, and that you respect and listen to, because so many of the stories we tell ourselves, like I said earlier, they seem so real, but if you have somebody in your life that's questioning you on that, that's holding you accountable to those, I think that's really, important. And then I think you said three. So I think the other one is learning to, we have 60,000 thoughts a day, right? So we're not going to be able to capture all of those thoughts. But I think when you start to learn the patterns, when you start to identify the patterns in your life, because the way you do one thing is the way you do everything. So when you start to identify those patterns, I think those digging into those patterns and the truth of what you're believing and deciding whether you want to continue to believe that or not, or change those, is where you're going to see exponential change in your life.
Gosh, I feel like we could have kept talking forever.
This is fun. I love it.
It's just fun. And I love the, I think it was the second one, like surround yourself with people who are willing to basically check you, like check your thoughts or question them. Mm-hmm. And I don't think I've ever heard that one before. And I think that is so beautiful, because sometimes how do I know if I don't know? And how do I know? When you said life happened, I think earlier in the relationship, earlier in the interview, life happens in relationship. And so you made sure to keep people around you. So I think like, those are some really interesting things to think about. And I just am thinking about, even in relationship, if there's not someone there who's going to be like, are you sure? That they are definite mirrors. And that can be kind of scary when I think about it.
Yeah. And it comes from a place, like we all know people that just like to complain or talk about the situation or whatever. And that's fine. Like we all need that at times, but if you're really wanting to change or see things different in your life, right? And that's what, like with my clients, I tell them, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell you everything in love, but I'm going to be honest because that's my job, right? If you want to get better, you want to see things be differently, then you need people in your life that are going to be honest with you and tell you the parts you can change. Cause we can talk about other people and how they can need to change all day, but guess what? We don't have any control over that.
Isn't that the truth? Everybody, you can find Robin Moore at robinmoorecoaching.com. She's on Facebook, robin.moore.16, MOORE. And I think I saw, and Instagram is Robin Moore Coaching. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much. And also just to note, it's Robin with a Y. I know a lot yes. of people will be looking for the I, so just to make that little note.
That is actually really important. And I got the more and I missed the Y. And I'm so grateful that I have you here to be like, watch out for the Y. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, Angela Talent here, host of the Relatively Damaged podcast. I'm the author of Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. As you may know, Cicero once said, a room without books is like a body without a soul. Well, I say a soul without poetry hasn't lived. Buy my book on Amazon, Poems from a Lost Soul by Angela Talent. We really enjoyed talking to Robin about how she overcame severe depression and anxiety and was able to get her health back. We especially liked when she spoke about getting off the medication and how it changed her body. To unite with other damaged people, connect with us on Instagram, look for Damaged Parents. We'll be here next week, still relatively damaged. See you then.